Hi, this is Bruce Buffer, your voice of the Octagon, and you're listening to MMA Mental.
Welcome to this week's MMA Mental podcast. My name is Ray. As always, I've got some great guests lined up. We focus this week on top up-and-coming prospects. But before we let you know who we got on this week, as always, I want to give some shout-outs. First of all, exciting news, we've got a new sponsor this week joining the team. We've teamed up with MMA Victor Fantasy MMA, so check out our site for more. There'll be links from our site posting you, so you can go and check out. If you're into MMA, I'm sure you like Fantasy MMA as well. You get a chance to win some money, win prizes, so it's definitely worth checking out. As always, I want to shout out our other sponsor, UK Fightwear, great supporters of the podcast. We also like to shout out our friends in the MMA podcast world. We've got themmapodcast.com, which is hosted by the brilliant Jake and Chris. It's great to see Chris back on things again. We've also got Word on the Street, which is hosted by Ramses. We also do a podcast each week where we team up together. We team up with themmapodcast.com, we team up with Word on the Street. We do a roundtable show, which is every Thursday. Okay, let's move on. Let me let you know who we've got on this week's show. We've got some really good interviews lined up. So we open the show with the UC MMA light heavyweight champion Linton Vassell. And then we switch over to Extreme Fighting Championship. And we've got the number one contender for the lightweight title. We've got Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. His next fight has been announced. He'll be facing the champion Notorious Nick Newell. So that's going to be an epic fight, a big fight for Scott. And then we move across to another up-and-coming fighter, Latif Idris. Latif is 2-1 at the moment, currently working his way up through the rankings. He's certainly one to look out for. Then we move back across to XFC, and we speak to Julio Gallegos, who will be fighting Dominic Steele at XFC 24 coming up shortly. And then we speak to Jason Ellis. Jason Ellis is one of the owners of Relentless Sports Management, and they're representing a couple of guys who are fighting on the next FC card, which is XFC 23, sorry, not XFC 24. And he represents Julio Gallegos and Division Ribeiro. So that was it was a good interview to speak to him, find a little bit about his company, and also get his thoughts on his guys fighting for XFC. And then our last interview is another top prospect, Kerry Hughes. She's a semi-pro at the minute. She's 2-0. She's got a background in Muay Thai and K1. She's certainly one to look out for. And she's got a fight coming up soon as well. And she's actually looking for sponsorship for a fight as well. She's raising money for one of the charities. And there's a Just Giving page on her Facebook, which you can click the link and go in and donate if anyone would like to. So hopefully you'll enjoy these interviews. I am now joined by UC MMA light heavyweight champion Linton Vassell. First of all, I want to say a big thank you for joining us today, Linton.
That's fine, mate. No worries.
How are things with you?
I'm good, man. Just living the dream, you know. I had a big win, and now I'm just back to training, and just with the Wolfslayer boys at the moment in Liverpool.
Oh, you're training with Wolfslayer?
Who are you? Chikunga at the moment.
Oh, fantastic.
Sorry?
I said, that's fantastic. What's it like training there?
Oh, wicked, mate. I'm training with Congo at the moment, Chikunga.
Yeah.
It's my second time here. I come here for the Rampage camp as well against Glover.
Oh, okay.
So it's a big eye opener, you know, to show you what the next level is all about. So I think that's where I'm aiming for now. So, you know, to train with all these better world class strikers, you know, it's up in my game anyway.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your latest win, because obviously it was on paper it looked like a very, very tough fight. You were facing Zal Gelasic, who's quite well known. He's fought in some of the bigger worldwide promotions. I know he fought in Pride Fighting Championship, and it was obviously for your light heavyweight title at UTMMA. But you basically made it look easy. I mean, you come out, you were on fire. You just dominated him. Do you want to talk to us a bit about the fight and how the fight went?
Yeah, no worries. You know, definitely. I say one of my toughest fights, I say on paper, you know, is a big name. And it was obviously me and my manager and my trainers obviously were aiming for, you know, but to get a next high-priced world fight. So, yeah, we took the fight and he come out not messing about, you know, he come out to try and take my head off, but obviously managed to take him down and finish him off. But, you know, he's very, very resilient in
Yeah, he took quite a lot of punishment.
Big win for him, yeah.
He took quite a lot of punishment, didn't he, before the referee stopped the fight?
Yeah. Well, with the punches, they're more... The way I see it, there's no point just throwing a barrage of head punches that are going to hit his arm, you know. So what I tend to do is play for punches, you know. And, you know, obviously, look what happened to him after. You know, I mean, take pace and nicely and, do more damage. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think with hindsight, the ref probably could have stepped in a little bit sooner, but obviously that's not down to you. That's down to the ref. What was it like as well? Because obviously it was quite a big event for UC MMA because it was obviously live on primetime TV, which was obviously a big deal. What was it like knowing you were the main event that was live on telly?
To be honest, because I've been the main event before and the home live before, but it was just all in one. But I didn't feel that much more pressure just because I was the main event. I didn't really feel much pressure. The fact that it was live, and so I think I've been used to that now. I've been alive a couple of times, so
yeah. You fought in some of the biggest promotions in the UK, really, haven't you? Because I know you fought in Cage Warriors as well.
Live, so yeah, that it was sort of the same, but it's all it was the main event. I've been in a couple of times, so you know, it's all happening in
Right, let's go back a little bit over your history then. So you've been fighting professionally since 2008. What got you into mixed martial arts?
My friend, Cliff Hall. He's always like saying, just come down to the gym and, you know, just have a little roll and stuff. So eventually I went down and I ended up tapping out all the pros at the time. And from there it was sort of like my trainer Danny Batten. He's got something here. He tapped out the pros and he very just started. So from there, that's when I had my first semi-pro fight. Then I won that, and then my second fight was a semi-pro fight for a title at heavyweight, and I won that. And then just carried on and, you know, just kept winning. So it was something that wasn't even a hobby came into, obviously, now to hopefully be a big career for me. So, you know, I sort of just fell into it and just loved it at the end of the day.
You've got quite a lot of wins on your record as well. Have you got any standout moments, any favourite victories?
Probably my first title. My second fight. I ended up breaking the fella's arm as well. That's what took me most of the battle. He didn't tap out and ended up breaking his arm. So it ended up... and then winning the title. So I'd say that's probably the biggest fight that stood out for me.
What promotion was that for?
I think it was MMA. It was one of Mark Woodard's events.
Oh, okay.
And then my second fight, that was semi-pro.
Yeah, that was. And that, was that your last semi-pro fight, or did you have more semi-pro fights after that?
No, I had one more on UWC. I won that fight as well. That was my last, heavyweight fight at semi-pro. That was. And then from that, I went into pro.
And for pro, you've obviously fought at heavy and light heavy, but is light heavy your home? Is that where you're looking to stay?
Yeah, 100%. Light heavy is my home. To be honest, I think I was too small for the light heavyweight. Body mass. I walked around about 100, and most heavyweights are over 100 plus. So it made sense for me to cut the weight down, and fight out like everywhere. And I feel that's my natural weight. Yeah, that's my natural class. And at the moment, I'm just running things. So you know, I'm happy. I'm happy at this weight.
Yeah, definitely. Because you want to have as much size and strength advantage as possible, and obviously cutting down to make a weight rather than either staying at your own weight or bulking up to make a weight. It's not what people do nowadays, is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Obviously, we've seen you fighting in February, like we've already talked about. Now, looking forward, I mean, did you have any injuries from the fight? When are you looking to get back in the cage again?
Soon as. I'm just waiting for my manager here to let me know what I've got next. But soon as he's got something for me, then... then I'll be going. Hopefully, it'll be international next.
Hopefully, what? Sorry.
Hopefully, I'll be internationally next. Okay. So I think I've done enough on the UK scene, and it'll be nice to get out of England and abroad. Start getting recognised, I think, a bit more.
Yeah. I don't think there's many light heavyweights left for you on the UK scene now, because looking at the rankings, you're ranked obviously number 2 in the UK behind Jimmy Manoa.
That's right.
And of course, he's in the UFC. So you're looking to go European next, do you think, and try and get your name out more on the European scene?
That's it. That's where I need to be. And so obviously, they've got some boys down here, but and so I'm number 2, so I think get myself known a bit more, on the international scene. So hopefully my next fight will be abroad.
You were talking there about the international stage. Do you feel that your latest win, because it was against such a well-known opponent on the international stage, obviously he's fought in some of the biggest promotions in the world and he's known worldwide. I think that's going to help you get you to the next step. Help you get a bigger opponent.
Yeah, definitely. But I must say, it's how because it will be in worldwide. So a win over him, definitely, I think, has got me, people sort of know my name a bit more. And I think that will get me fights abroad. I've fought him and I beat him. And in a way, I beat him as well. So I definitely think that's in my favour.
I was going to say, it's not just the fact you beat him, but like you said, it's the way you beat him as well. Because it was really, really impressive. Well, I want to say it's been a real pleasure having a chance to speak to you today, and I certainly look forward to seeing you making that next step up and fighting a bigger opponent internationally, and hopefully we can get you back on and we can talk about the fight as well once we know who it is. But okay, if you'd like to have give a shout out and say thank you to any sponsors.
Yes, mate. Scrap and Scrap Solutions, Impact, Inspired Sales and Lettings, The Warehouse, and Vita Coco. Also, that's a big shout out to Biox Nutrition.
Brilliant. Well, as I've already said, I really appreciate you giving me your time today, and I look forward to hopefully getting a chance to speak to you again in the future.
Wicked, thank you.
We are now joined by Scott Hot Sauce Holtman. Scott is coming off a big win, which has earned him the number one contender, contendership in the title fight. So, Scott, first of all, obviously you had to face Jason Hicks at XFC 22. It was a hard fight, but you did the business. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, mate. My pleasure. So let's talk a little bit about that fight. I mean, it was a very a tough and a very close fight. How did you feel the fight went?
The fight was a tough fight. Jason was really tough. I expected that, and, just like I had said, in lots of interviews before, it was going to take a little bit to figure him out and figure out where I should win. He got in there, and obviously there's always, surprises or things like that when you get in the cage. But, at the end of the day, I learned from the fight. I gained some experience, and I still got the win, so I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, at the level you're at now, the level of opponent you're facing, obviously it was the main event of XFC, you can't expect it to just be a walk in the park. Every fight's going to be difficult now, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
No problem. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little better.
Okay, what I was just saying is, at the level you're at now, and obviously, the competition you're facing, the promotion you're with, you're not going to get any easy fights now. You're going to get hard fights now, from this day forward kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard. Once you get up to a certain level, there's no real turning back on competition, but... I always knew it would be like that, and I've never really ducked any fights, so I've never said no to a fight. So, that's gotten me to where I am now, and I'm off to a fast start, so, it's going to be a war, everyone. So, a lot of people, a lot of my fans aren't used to that, so they weren't sure what happened. That's just what you can expect from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose in a way you don't want it any other way. You don't want to be easy fights, because you don't learn anything from an easy fight. And obviously your next fight is not going to be an easy fight. If you're facing Notorious Nick Newell, of course he gets a lot of publicity because he's such an excellent fighter, and of course he's the champion at the moment in XFC.
what are your thoughts on Nick and getting this big opportunity?
No, well, obviously it's a huge opportunity because obviously fighting Nick comes with tremendous amount of exposure and you know, just media. So Nick's a really special guy, and obviously he's 9-0 with 8 first round finishes. So you know, he's obviously really dangerous. So I'm not taking him lightly. Obviously I'm having to kind of focus my training a little differently at times, but you know, my base is still there. I still train everything, and you know, I'm just ready to go out there and show everybody once again that I'm ready to take the next step. So
now I know the fight has been announced. Do you want to just let everyone know what event this fight's going to be at and when the event's going to be?
Sure, it's going to be XFC 24. It'll be in Tampa, Florida on June 14th. It's going to be at the USF Sundome, and I believe it's the USF is the Southern Florida, University of Southern Florida College. So should be a nice venue, and I think they're going to have some other good names on the card, so it'll be a good one as usual.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, with that as the main event, it's going to be great already just with the main event we've got set up. But obviously, XFC are putting on great cards at the moment anyway. You know, they have been doing it for a while, so we know this is going to be exciting. Talk a little bit more about Nick, because obviously there is a lot of media on Nick. You've obviously watched this. You've obviously seen footage of him. What do you feel that you can exploit, that you can take advantage of with your style over his style?
Well, I feel like I'm going to have some good wrestling defense. I feel like, you know, I can wrestle decent, you know, which may be an area where he, you know, the last few guys he's fought that they were lacking. So, you know, whether or not he's able to put me on his back, on my back, you know, I think it's going to be a little tougher for he's going to have to work for it a little more than he has had to in the past. So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, going to be working on the wrestling defense or the wrestling overall, which is, you know, wrestling's really fun to me. I like it. So, going to enjoy that.
And obviously you talked there about the wrestling defense. Do you feel if you can keep the fight standing that you've got an advantage, with the striking?
I don't know. I feel like I'm well-rounded. I feel like I'm decent everywhere. So wherever the fight goes, I'll be comfortable. You know, I'm sure that, you know, he expects everybody to try and take advantage of his, you know, of his left side. So, you know, I don't really, not really sure yet on that. You know, it's not something that I'm going to focus on. It's not like I say I'm going to go right every time to get towards that side. But, you know, if the fight stays on the feet, you know, and I keep it on the feet, then I'll be happy there. It'll be all right.
Well, I, for one, am really looking forward to the fight. It's a fantastic fight, and you've certainly earned it. I mean, you're 4-0 yourself now, and obviously you've won your number one contender match. So, you know, I want to wish you luck for the fight. I mean, we've got 3 months to go. I'm pretty sure, if I'm lucky, I'll get to speak to you again before the fight as well. I'm sure we can arrange that, you know, nearer the time of the fight. But, yeah, good luck.
I appreciate that. And, again, appreciate you having me on. And anytime you want, we can have a chat.
Yeah, we'll definitely. We'll be in contact over Twitter anyway, like we are. If you want to do, as always, give you a chance to do any shout-outs, and anyone you want to shout out at all, just, you know, feel free.
Yeah, sure. The XFC, TJ Alcock, and Brooke are good to me. And, you know, you guys get on there, follow me on my Twitter. It's at Hot Sauce Holtzy on my Facebook fan page. You know, more fans, the better.
Absolutely. And we'll send out links as well with your Twitter handle so people can follow via Twitter, and we'll get this posted on Facebook as well. So thank you very much for your time today, Scott. I really appreciate it, mate.
All righty. Thank you. Take care.
No problem. Speak to you soon, mate. Okay, we're now joined by Latif Idris. Latif is 2-1, and he's obviously training in MMA and looking to fight in MMA. He's also got a background in in some of the he trains in some of the combat sports as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what training you do at the moment, Latif?
The training I do, primarily I first started out as a boxer when I was 15. I went and competed over at the Golden Gloves over here in Washington, D.C. And then I kind of shifted over to Muay Thai and started fighting in Muay Thai before I went off and started in MMA. So primarily I started out as a striker, and obviously in MMA you're going to have to develop an all-around game. So it was just one of those things where you know, you kind of expand your game. But I first started out as a striker.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the transition. So first of all, from boxing to Muay Thai, what was the transition like going from boxing to Muay Thai, obviously introducing the knees and the elbows and the kicks?
Well, I mean, the big transition from boxing to Muay Thai was that, for one thing, at least, is that in boxing, you can kind of, so one of my biggest transitions from it was because I like to dip my head really low in boxing. And it was totally fine to do it in boxing because, you know, your primary concern in boxing is hands. So you can, you know, go as low as you want to. But if you do that in Muay Thai, which I tried a couple of times when I first started sparring, you know, I'd get clubbed in the head with a knee or with a kick. So in terms of that, in terms of the way you're standing, you know, you tend to stand a little more straightforward in Muay Thai as opposed to kind of to the side a little bit with it as it comes to boxing. So in terms of that, a lot more in boxing competition, there's more rounds when you're competing. So that kind of was taking an adjustment to it. But it was definitely primarily just noticing more, you know, they call the science of eight limbs for a reason. So just the fact that you would sit around and you'd have to worry about so many other facets of an arsenal as opposed to just hands, you know.
It's interesting because you mentioned that about the stance. And I imagine after training for so long in one art, your stance becomes like an instinct. So you probably wouldn't even think about your stance. You go into your stance automatically when you're ready, when you prepare yourself to fight. How hard was it to get that out of your mind and then take on a new stance for Muay Thai?
It's amazingly difficult, especially if you were in one martial art for a very prolonged period of time. So it gets a lot harder to do. In terms of, I mean, the good thing about, I guess competition in general is that it kind of forces you to adjust your stance. You know, if you're not going to do it, someone's definitely going to teach you a lesson that you're going to have to, you know. Especially with boxing. When boxing, you know, they're very predominant on their lead leg. So, you know, you can totally do that in boxing because all you're worried about is punches. But if I stand there prominent in my lead leg, someone's just going to, you know, kick my leg repeatedly over and over again. So it kind of forces you to adjust just, you know, based on repetition and sparring because you're going to end up having to adjust and adjust because it's going to get more and more painful if you don't, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, and we've all seen how nasty leg kicks can be, certainly when you take multiple kicks. So you talk then, obviously your next transition then was from Muay Thai to MMA. What made you want to switch across to MMA?
Well, I think the same reason why I want to switch up to MMA is probably the same reason why I switched off from boxing to Muay Thai. It's that, you know, for boxing to Muay Thai, it kind of incorporated and used more of your arsenal of weapons. I just like the fact that it kind of gives you, you know, kind of a bigger range of things that you want to do in terms of martial arts and offense and defense. And that was the same rationale from going from Muay Thai to MMA, and that, you know, you can be so, you know, canon and really well standing up, but what happens when someone tries to take you down, or what happens when you're on the ground? So, you know, I kind of wanted to go from Muay Thai to MMA, more so just to kind of broaden my horizons and just martial arts to kind of expand it. You know, so you don't just want to necessarily stay in striking because in fights, for the most part, you know, they don't necessarily are upright. You're not upright all the time during fights. So in all essence, I just wanted to kind of incorporate more and utilize more of my tools as opposed to just, you know, hands, knees, elbows, and feet.
So obviously, had you, going from Muay Thai to MMA then, you obviously were aware of MMA, and you'd watched MMA, so you knew what you were getting into. You knew what was involved with the MMA grappling.
No, absolutely. And it's also one of those things where it's like, you know, a perfect example would be my first amateur MMA fight. Because what happened was, we were fighting. All of a sudden, I caught the guy with a left hook and he, you know, kind of buckled a little bit and went down. and I literally was just standing there waiting for the referee to go walk over there and do like a standing eight count, you know? So I'm like standing there waiting, waiting for it in my corner. I was like, well, what are you doing, you know? Go over there and hit the guy. And it just took me like a while to realize, I was like, oh, that's right, it's MMA, it's not Muay Thai. The fight's not over, you know, we're still going. So I just ran in there, tried to hammer fist him down, but it's funny how, like, your mind is very, you know, situated in one way, and that it just kind of sticks with it for so long, even until the point of competition, and then, you know, it kind of becomes a breakthrough. So I've been watching MMA for a while there, and, you know, I kind of caught up with the pride aspect of it before I started getting along with the UFC. So, no, absolutely, I knew what was going on with MMA.
It's funny you say there about the dropping the guy and not jumping in, but again, you've trained your mind to, once the guy drops, to walk away and let the referee do his thing, and all of a sudden you're in an environment where that's not the normal case now. You need to get in there and get the fight finished, because if you don't, then the guy gets back to his feet, you're back in danger again, aren't you?
Exactly. So I literally was, I remember vividly, because I remember waiting and thinking, why isn't the ref going over there and give him a count, because obviously I hit him, and obviously he went down. So, you know, in the traditional rules, you got to go there and give a count. Even if the guy gets right back up, you got to give him, like, some kind of standard count. And he didn't. And in my mind, I was like, oh, that's right, at the MMA fight, you know, the fight's not over until he's, you know, until the time is allotted, or he submits, or he gets knocked out, or technically knocked out. So it was a funky when I was thinking about it the first time.
Well, how was the transition then? Because obviously, boxing to Muay Thai, you talked there about the stance, but it was striking, it was still striking to striking. But of course, you switched across to MMA, and as you've said, there's a lot more involved in MMA with the ground aspect. So how was the switch from Muay Thai to MMA?
It was a lot, definitely a lot more complicated than going from boxing to Muay Thai, because, you know, both are striking arts and both are standing up. It took a little getting used to, especially for the fact that, you know, a lot of people, when I first started competing, would just automatically be like, okay, he's a striker, he's known for being a striker, take him down. So that, and within that aspect, you're going to have to kind of deal with it. Because a lot of times as an MMA fighter, if you predominantly did one thing, you tend to want to avoid it, you know, a lot of times. If you're primarily a striker, you don't want to get taken down. But, you know, in reality, it doesn't really ever work that way. You know, the possibility of you getting taken down is pretty high. You know, even if you have strong takedown defense, you never know. You know, you might get a trip in there, you might slip, you might go down. So you have to prepare yourself to know that it's going to happen sooner or later. So rather than just try to avoid altogether, you might as well try to work on it and perfect your craft a little more.
So you talked there about the takedowns and obviously perfecting your craft. And you're absolutely right. If you're going to be in an MMA fight, you've got to learn to fight off your back. And we've seen that, whether it's get back to your feet or look for submission, you've got to be able to do one or the other. So what have you, with regards to the ground game, what have you focused on more? With is it takedown defense? Is it getting back to your feet? Is it working on jiu-jitsu defense? What have you focused on to get yourself in there?
In all honesty, all of them, you try to work on and get perfecting in there too. I'd probably say more so than anything, I tend to work a lot more on my defense on the ground. So probably submission defense, and probably takedown defense a lot more so than actually working on takedowns and getting on the offensive submission game. So just because, you know, you want to kind of dot your I's and cross your T's when it comes to fighting. So I can always work on my submissions and my takedowns more so, but it's a lot easier to work on them when you have a backup plan of knowing how to defend a takedown or knowing how to, you know, or kind of avoid submissions.
Also, how long did you train in MMA before you took your first pro fight?
Let's see, about a good 7-8 months.
And when it came, you felt ready to go, and you felt that you were, you know, ready to go in and able to hold your own.
I did. I mean, you know, I fought in Muay Thai for a few years and in boxing too. So kind of the anxiety or the nervousness that comes in with fighting, you don't necessarily, obviously you feel it because it's your first MMA fight, but it's not as drastic as not competing at all in anything. So in terms of that, it was pretty easy. But in terms of just kind of adjusting to it after such a short period of time, obviously it was one of those things where, you know, in that short amount of time when I first started MMA training, it became one of those things where, it's, you know, you want to focus on the basis that you were just talking about, takedown defense and submission, and get a kind of a, you know, kind of a good market around it, and then try to work it that way. Obviously, it's a very small period of time before you take an MMA fight. Luckily, the guy who I fought my first amateur fight was primarily a striker too, so I know I actually didn't even go to the ground, so.
So I know obviously you're 2-1. So let's talk about your two wins. Do you want to talk us through how your first two fights played out, starting with obviously fight number one, then moving on to fight number two?
The first two fights ended up working out pretty primarily a lot similar to each other. They were both decisions that I won unanimously. The first one ended up being that the guy was very much a brawler, and I think what his whole game plan was just to kind of work on the inside and try to, you know, kind of muscle me in there. But in all honesty, it's one of the things that I actually find fun a lot is kind of staying in the pocket and work on the inside. And he just was trying to bank it out. And I guess after a little while, he kind of realized that might not be the smartest game plan to do and kind of teetered off and backed off a little bit. I just kept pursuing them the whole entire time. The second fight I had was a guy who was primarily a jiu-jitsu guy. So his striking was not up to par. So a lot of times I just ended up kind of taking the role of the guy who wanted to do the first fight. I was a lot more aggressive in the second fight. And both of them ended up being decisions that relatively easy. And it's always the fun thing about MMA is that it's kind of, you know, it's kind of what it's a, you know, it's like that quote that they always say that you're never a finished product because you win the first two fights and you win them convincingly. And then, you know, fighting the last fight I lost in, and that was a guy who's primarily a wrestler. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you, you know, you think you're up to a certain point, but then you realize that you kind of have to work on a little more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's if you're going to be involved in this game, then we all know you're going to get losses. It's that's, I mean, even the best and the best in the world, the Anderson Silvers, the George St. Pierre's, they've all suffered losses and they've all come back. So that's all part of the game. What do you take from the loss and what do you work on to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Oh, well, I mean, you take it from a loss, it's always hard to, you know, kind of overcome a loss. You just have to necessarily kind of get back on the horse again. You know, I was talking to my dad about it and the fight was on Friday. On Sunday, I was talking to him about it and how disappointed you feel. You're losing, you know, it's your first professional loss. And, you know, literally he just sat there and he told me, he's like, hey, does that mean you're going to stop fighting? And I was like, well, no, obviously not. And he's like, all right then, well then, you know, you shouldn't really be so downtrodden if you know that this is going to be your career. You know, if you're hoping to fight more and more and end up getting bigger promotions, you know, who's undefeated in MMA? Not, you know, any of the top guys, you know, they all have losses in their corner. So you kind of tend to want to go look at the fight videotape and assess, you know, where you lacked or where you needed to kind of gain your ground on. You know, for submission defense, I think is what one of the first things that I want to work on and actually working on angles for this last fight. So, you know, you always want to build up, you always want to build on your losses. If you don't, then you're always going to end up being stuck in the same spot the whole entire time. You know, gone are the days where you can just only concentrate and be great in one martial art and just, you know, not be good at the others. So you kind of have to consistently work on your craft. Regardless if it's a win or a loss, the good thing about a loss, I guess if you want to take the one good thing about it, is that, you know, you're working and expanding specifically on something to, you know, as opposed to if you win, because if you win, you kind of work and expand, but you don't really necessarily know what your weaknesses are. I guess with a loss, you know, your weaknesses are a lot more prevalent, so you tend to want to work on it that way.
Yeah, I think that's the right attitude to have as well. Like you said, it's going to happen. It's just how you bounce back from that. So obviously, that fight was, if I'm right, was quite recent. So how long are you going to take before you take your next fight? And do you know, have you any clues on who your next fight's going to be or where it's going to be?
There's a fight coming up toward the end of May and June over here in California. Not quite sure. I think they're working out the schematics. They're trying to get the opponent to come and sign in. So hopefully May and in June, in between that time, try to perfect the craft a little bit, you know, try to work on it. I'm going to try to take a couple of grappling tournaments that they have around in California. California is very prominent in the whole jiu-jitsu tournament. So in between the training camp, I'm definitely going to end up taking a couple of those tournaments and try to expand on my ground game.
And also, I mean, looking forward then, let's look at the future, your future. Ideally, where do you see yourself? Say 5 years' time, where would you like to be within your MMA career in 5 years' time?
In 5 years' time, what would I be? 30 years old. I would like to obviously fight in the bigger promotions of, the UFC, the Bellators of the world, and try to at least attain a championship or be a top contender in them. If you don't try to strive for those kind of goals, you're never going to end up achieving them. So I would like to be in 5 years' time, a prominent player in an actual good promotion, if not a title belt holder, someone that's actually competing for one.
I think that's you've got to have the targets. I think it's good as well now that there's numerous big promotions around, where I think for a while it's just been the one promotion, because there's a few quite big promotions coming through now. I think it gives more opportunities for fighters that are up and coming.
That last part kind of broke off there. What was that?
Sorry, I was just saying, because, I mean, for a while there's only been one big promotion, but obviously the UFC, but that's not the case now. We've got other big promotions, and I think it's better for fighters that are up and coming. It gives them more opportunities if there's more promotions for them to go for.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right. There was a turn time where UFC is the name of the game, whereas now, you've got Bellator, you've got UFC, you've got what's called World Glory, then now they're trying to expand. You got K1. You know, there's a lot of MMA organizations out there now that, you can kind of get up and see them. There's the World Series of Fighting that I ended up watching on NBC Sports, too. So, you have a lot of options now in terms of MMA, and especially for being a flyweight, too. Because for the longest time, if you wanted to go fight anywhere and you were, less than 155 pounds or a lightweight, you'd have to go to specific countries. I remember I had a couple of buddies that were bantamweights and they'd have to go to Japan and go compete there. But now, because, the popularity of MMA in general, now there's a lot of promotions out there that incorporate flyweights, bantamweights, featherweights, lightweights. So just in terms of the timing and expanding the genre of the martial arts now as a lightweight, I there's a lot more opportunities now as opposed to, 5 years ago,
Absolutely. It just shows the growth of the sport as well. I remember for a while as well, I mean, this was going back a while now, but I remember when the UFC scrapped the lightweight division and there literally was just four divisions, heavyweight down to welterweight. And the idea of that now seems absolutely crazy, but they did do that for a while. But it just shows you the growth of the sport and the talent that's coming through, that, you can have the smaller weight classes in, but they're still just as competitive and just as much fun to watch as any of the weight classes. And some people think even more so because they're much more action-packed.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where, regardless of where your position is, as long as you keep training and competing and doing well, I mean, look at it now. They allow women in the UFC. 5 years ago, two years ago, that thought would have been very, foreign to people. So the fact that just because they're not, they don't allow certain, weights or certain genders, doesn't necessarily mean you have to give it up altogether. Soon enough, as popular as the sport is getting, it's going to end up welcoming new classes and new weight classes. And, so it's just one of those things where in a very small amount of time, they've actually invited quite a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. It's great. I mean, for me as a fan of the sport, it's great because it means I get to sit and watch more fights, which is brilliant. I just want to say it's been a real pleasure having an opportunity to speak today. I really appreciate giving you time. I know you're busy as well, so it's been brilliant. But before I let you go, I just want to give you a chance to do any shout-outs. If you want to shout out any friends, family, sponsors, let people know about your Facebook and Twitter as well.
Oh, you just shout out the various sorts. I mean, first and foremost, I'd like to give a shout out to my team, my gym, PKG, over in the old Westwood in Los Angeles, California. Good group of guys, sponsors, Jay Fresh Entertainment. And I guess that's about it. I give a shout out to my family, but, they don't need a shout out from me. They know I love them.
And what, do you want to let people know your Twitter details as well? So I know you're on Twitter.
Oh, I am. I am at LIdris16. At Elidris 16.
Are you on Facebook as well?
I am Latif Idris. So,
brilliant.
Be my friend. I need friends.
Yeah, friend, you can never have too many fans and followers, so yeah, definitely come on and add Latif on and follow him on Twitter. Well, brilliant. I really appreciate your time today, so thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. It's always cool to rap about the old fight game.
I'm now joined by Julio Gallegos, who will be fighting at XFC 23 against Dominic Steele. First of all, Julio, thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Edson.
So you've obviously got a big fight coming up, but before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit about your background leading up to this fight. You're currently 4-3. All of your fights, interestingly, have been with XFC. So what's it been like, working for XFC and having all your fights with XFC?
I'm pretty good, but currently I'm 6-3. I've had a fight in December, had a fight in January. But fighting for the XFC is awesome. I like the organization. I like John. I like everybody that's in the organization. They're very nice. They're very helpful. And they just seem like they just got, their game plan together for the organization.
Yeah, sorry about that. I went on Sherdog, and it's obviously got the record wrong, so I apologise for that. So you're currently 6-3, sorry.
Yeah.
So you said about your two more recent wins. Were they with XFC as well, or were they with another promotion?
Yeah, another promotion. One was with, Wild Deal and Spartan Fight League.
And when was your last fight, did you say?
January 19th.
Oh, so it's not too long ago then. So obviously you're coming off your fight on January 19th, and how did that fight go?
Won in the first round by submission.
And you obviously come out of that fight feeling pretty good, because obviously it's quite a quick turnaround to fight again, so there's no injuries from the fight or anything like that?
No, sir. Definitely. It came out pretty good. It was a blessing to come out with no, small injuries or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you've got a big fight coming up. It's fair to say, Dominic Steele's a big opponent. He's coming off of a big fight for Bellator, which obviously he lost, but it was a very tough fight. How do you feel about facing Dominic Steele?
I think it's going to be a good fight. When they asked me if I wanted to fight him, we didn't have to second guess it or talk about it. We was excited to take it. I've seen him fight a couple times, and I think it's a good matchup for me, and I believe it's going to be a crowd pleaser. I would say be probably the fight of the night.
Obviously, the fight's going to be on the main card as well, which of course means that it will be televised. Does that add any extra pressure to you knowing the fight's televised, or does that just fire you on more?
No, I mean, cameras and no cameras, at the end of the day, it's still doing the same thing as you would if you're off camera. So, no, I mean, I've been on cameras before, so it's nothing new.
And what do you feel, obviously, you're both obviously quite well-rounded. What do you feel are your strengths over his weaknesses?
I think my strengths are my stand-up, and I think my ground game is another strength. But what I love about the ground is that it's pretty much like chess. It's whoever gets to the best position faster and who capitalizes on the other guy's mistakes. So on the ground, it's kind of who gets all the trigger first. But I feel very good standing.
Now, let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit about your background. You started fighting professionally in 2009. What made you want to get into mixed martial arts?
My lady got me into it back in 2006. Just like some fighters around, not proud to say it, but I had a lot of trouble in my career. In my life, and a lot of anger issues and problems, and so got a lot of troubles on the streets. And my lady asked me if she can give me a fight, would I stop doing the bullshit on the streets? And I said, yeah, sure. And 2 weeks later, she got me a fight, and ever since then, I've loved it. It's like counseling for me. Every time I step in the ring, it just helps me understand who I am and understand, the way my life and what path that I took. So pretty much it came down to how my life was, and my lady got me into MMA.
It sounds like the MMA has really got you along, as your lady as well, but has got you on the right track then. It sounds like you're going down quite a bad road, and this has kind of pointed you in the right direction and maybe saved you from getting into further trouble.
Yeah, I would say if God had blessed me with, you know, a supportive lady and MMA, I would say either I would have locked up for life or be dead somewhere on the side of the, you know, street somewhere, without a doubt.
It's so nice to hear a positive story in the sense of you were in a bad place, but because of obviously decisions you've made yourself, you're now in a good place. I think you should, you know, give yourself a lot of credit for that, because sometimes it's easier to just stay in that bad place, and people make decisions not to get out of that bad place. But obviously, you've not done that, so you know, fair play for going off in the right direction, and look at you now fighting professional MMA.
Yeah, you know, I definitely. Can't do no pat on the back on myself. It's definitely God just never gave up on me, and you know, he definitely showed mercy for me. So all the glory goes to him, and leading me in the direction I am in today's time in my life.
Let's talk a little bit about your training. What camp and who are some of the people you're currently training with?
I train out of Reaction MMA and George Jails up in Cincinnati. There's the two gyms I pretty much train out of quite frequently.
Now, you mentioned that George Gagal. Obviously, he's quite a well-known instructor. What's it like working? Do you actually get to work with George Gagal? What's it like working with him?
He's a good dude. He's a real good guy, man. He's always joking, but he's definitely serious about his jiu-jitsu. He's definitely serious about training. And he's pretty hardcore about MMA, you know, that's his profession, and why wouldn't he be? And, it's definitely a blessing and a pleasure to work with him. And everybody out of Georgia Dales, they take the profession how it should be taken. Now relax, it's just business when you get in there. And, it's great working with him.
Yeah, he certainly, built a huge reputation for himself, a good reputation for himself. Well, obviously, it's going to be a great fight because you're both two guys that, you know, him and Dominic and yourself, you both bring it every time. So it is going to be a brilliant fight to watch. I want to wish you all the luck for the fight. Before we let you go, do you want to do any shout-outs? Want to shout out any friends, family, sponsors, and obviously let people know about if you're on Facebook and Twitter as well?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would love just to thank my teammate, our Reaction in the May, and George Gagal, and thank y'all for having me on the show tonight. I want to thank Relentless Sport Management, Chip Magician, the Medispa, Dr. Michael Q, the GJD Foundation, Forest Fitness Center, Bleed Blue Tattoo, On Point Athletics, Zija, Cosmic Color, and Nathan out of KStrength.com for my conditioning. And Excel also for also working for with our gym, and thank God for letting me have another opportunity at the HFC, and thank the HFC for allowing me to fight again. I need their life.
That's brilliant. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I really appreciate you giving me your time. Obviously, I know you're busy preparing for the fight, and like I've already said, I wish you all the luck for the fight. I really hope it goes your way.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks taking the time out and giving me a call and letting me be on your show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'll hopefully get a chance to speak to you again in the future.
For sure. It'll be my pleasure.
Cool. See you later then, Julio. Bye.
All right. See you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we're now joined by Jason Ellis. Jason is representing Relentless Sports Management, who will be managing two of the guys that are on the XFC 23 main card. Jason is managing Julio Gallegos, who of course I spoke to earlier, and you'll have listened to that interview by now, and also Division Ribeiro, who is the co-main against Zach Underwood. Of course, we had Zach on last week. First of all, Jason, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. So before we talk about you two guys, let's talk a little bit about yourself and about your company. Do you want to explain to us what Relentless Sports Management is?
Relentless Sports Management is made up of a group of gentlemen that, our position, you know, each individual fighter has an ambition or a dream or things that they want to look to accomplish. during the course of their fighting career. And what we stand for is creating those opportunities to allow them to fulfill those and achieve those goals. You know, no matter how big or how small, our job and what we stand for is, you know, working to make sure the opportunities happen. So, you know, whether it be 3 years down the road, a year, 6 months, whatever the case is, 5 years, 10 years, when they look back on the time that they spent involved in mixed martial arts and was competitive and actively fighting, they can say that they accomplished everything they set out to do during that period of time.
Obviously, it's a very a responsible position in the sense of, because you're obviously shaping the career of these young athletes that want to come on and reach their potential. Obviously, you've got to help guide them, make the right decisions, and obviously hopefully achieve their goals. So, is that some? How long have you been involved with Relentless Sport Management?
We formed Relentless Sports Management June 2012. Previously, I operated under ES Entertainment for 2.5 years. And when we put together Relentless Sports Management, put together a great group of solid guys with, you know, very, very good experience involved with mixed martial arts. Dan Donaldson, my talent relations, you know, he's been around mixed martial arts for 8 years. Most people might know him from, he actually runs the American Top Team Treasure Coast for Team Thomas, and people can affiliate with him through his time there and being around the fight game for working for Team Thomas, for Dean, and also Richard Cox. You know, he's been around the game, very known promoter and matchmaker as well, you know, involved some trainer up out of Georgia. And then we also have William Johnson, who's a board-certified civil attorney that works with us as well.
How rewarding is it when you see somebody come on and you help them make it to the next stage of their career, or, you know, you help them and you see them come on and get the wins? How rewarding is that for you personally, and also for your management company?
Very rewarding. You know, I like to see, I always say that we're only as good as our clients. And when we see our clients succeed from opportunities that were created, you know, I feel whether they win or lose, when they win, you know, I ride the high with them as well, and you know, and support as well as enjoy the moment. And then even as well as if the night doesn't go our way, I also personally take it a little personal and kind of don't like to be around a bunch of people per se. You know, depending on the outcome or how bad it may be. But at the end of the day, you know, these fighters, managers, you know, we're just people. And, you know, at the end of the day, we support them, you know, and stand behind them, our clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's if you're involved in this sport, it's the kind of sport where you wear your heart on your sleeve. You live the moments, the good and the bad, unfortunately, sometimes. But it's part and parcel, isn't it? That's just the way the sport is.
No, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Okay, let's move on to XFC 23. We'll start with the opening bout of the main card, which is Julio Gallegos. As I said, I spoke to him earlier this evening. He's got a big named opponent, Dominic Steele. Of course, Dom's coming off of a fight in Bellator, which was, I mean, he lost the fight, but it was a very, very competitive fight, went the distance with a very tough guy. How do you feel this fight will play out, and where do you think Julio has the advantages in this fight?
Well, you know, I'm not his coach, so I don't make the game plans. I stick more to the business side. But I definitely believe this is going to be a competitive fight, and I believe Julio is ready to step in that night and walk the line and do what he needs to do. You know, leading up to this point, you know, he came up when he competed for the XFC previously. You know, he suffered a couple of tough losses. You know, he went back on the regional scene, fought it with some tough fights, and, you know, now he's back on the 2-5 win streak, and this opportunity came, and it's kind of hard to say no. You know, I definitely want to keep moving forward with his career, not backwards, you know? So we're...
Absolutely, and obviously, like I said, I spoke to Julio earlier on, and listening to his stories, he's got an inspirational story with his background and with making decisions that he really could have gone down the wrong road, but with guidance of his partner, who he talked very highly of, he's really turned his life around and he's doing something really positive, which is great to see.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, this guy, he doesn't have to do the things that he does, and he does it with his foundation, GJG Worldwide. you know, his support to raise cancer awareness and visiting children's hospitals and things like that. He hasn't had to donate his time and do those things. He does it because he likes to do it, and he cares about these people, you know, and I can't say nothing bad about the guy. I mean, the guy is a great person, both inside and outside the cage. And the things that he does in his personal time when he's not with his family and training, you know, to raise the awareness towards cancer victims and things like that and cancer survivors, you know, it's first class, his personality.
Let's move on to Division. He's obviously fighting in the co-main against Zach Underwood. That's also going to be, you know, another tough fight. How do you feel about this matchup for Diversion?
I'm very excited for this fight. You know, Davison's making his XFC debut with them. You know, and I spoke with the XFC president, John Prisco, initially before before Davison became a XFC fighter. You know, I was very excited when I watched in 2012 what he did with the 155 division, which eventually led to Nick Newell winning the first lightweight title. And, you know, my understanding, he wanted to build the featherweight division. I feel that it's a great place for Davison to be, a great organization as well as, you know, for him to develop to, you know, actively compete and become a champion.
Yeah, and I think that was going to be my next point, actually. We're going to talk a little bit about XFC. I mean, I think following XFC, I mean, they're just growing and growing and growing, and obviously dealing with, I mean, I've spoke to John myself, and I've obviously interacted quite a lot with TJ. I mean, the drive behind the promotion is just amazing. What is it like for you as a management company, managing fighters, being involved with XFC?
Oh, I'm very pleased. Very pleased. Very pleased about the opportunities that our clients have had to compete in their cage. I'm very happy in the past, present, and even in the future, the things that we get to look forward to. You know, I'm very pleased and very satisfied with their work ethic and the way they bring their fighters that they and promote them and let the MMA fans out there know who these gentlemen are that compete in their cage. I mean, I think it's phenomenal, great, the way they market them.
Absolutely. And how big is it as well, you know, for your fighters, for XFC, and of course for yourself as a management company, how big is it as well that this is on national TV and the potential for the amount of people that get to see this event?
Oh, it's great. I mean, where else can you be on a platform? I mean, aside from other bigger nationally televised events, you know, being able to be on that platform to a national audience while they compete, not only is it good for them to get their name out there as well, but it also allows them to get more familiar with the fans that don't know who they are because they tune in to watch the event and then they get to see a great fight and actually learn about an athlete, you know, and discover, you know, new talent that hadn't been seen before, you know, and they get to watch the fireworks that happen in the case between them and their opponent. And, you know, at the end of the day, they gain new fans from it and fans get to know the athlete as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and it's great to see that XFC have put so much emphasis on bringing new talent through and, you know, building up themselves. They do their own the recruitment with the tryouts, and obviously they're putting a lot of emphasis as well on women's MMA as well, which is brilliant for the sport because obviously we've seen a lot of emphasis on that on a bigger scale as well with Invicta. So I think it just shows that, you know, XFC has got such a bright future, and obviously for any of the fighters that are involved with XFC, they're going to obviously go along with them as well.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you. I mean, you know, one thing about Davison that people don't know is that when he first started training and when he was in Brazil before he came to the U.S., you know, Davison comes from nothing. Like, you know, very poor family, lived poorly, and, you know, out of the woods, per se. He would ride a bus 2 hours to the gym, train, and ride 2 hours home every day because of how passionate he is about mixed martial arts. And, you know, obviously he built a successful fight career when he was in Brazil. And now that he's in the U.S., you know, we're very thankful about the opportunity for him to be able to showcase his talent and his skills, you know, at this level. You know, the other thing, too, that people would look forward to, I mean, this fight with him is Zach Underwood. Don't sleep on it. It's going to be a very exciting fight. You know, people like to watch the fireworks happen on the 4th of July. tune in April 19th and watch this fight, because it's definitely going to be an explosive, exciting night between these two.
I agree. To be honest with you, the whole card's stacked. I mean, there's some, you know, from the main event down to the last prelim, it's just a stacked card. I really appreciate you giving me your time today. I know you've had a lot on, so, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and having a chat with me, Jason. Before I let you go, I don't know if you want to do any shout-outs, let people know any contact details you might want people to know for yourself or for your company.
Absolutely. And, you know, first off, before I get into that, I just want to, you know, say thank you and for allowing me the opportunity to come on your show. I definitely appreciate it. If you want to follow Relentless Sports Management, go to our website, RelentlessNGMTMMA.com. You can find us on Facebook, our fan page, Relentless Sports Management, or Relentless Sport 1 on Twitter. If you want to follow Davison Ribeiro, you can find him at Davison Dragon on Twitter. He's on Facebook, Davison Dragon. Julio Gallegos, you can find him at GJG Worldwide on Twitter or his website, GJGWorldwide.com. Or Gerardo Julio Gallegos. You know, and I also take time to thank our different sponsors that we work with that support our athletes, Throw Punch 9NT, Fall Them All, several other companies also as well. If I'm not thanking you right now, we do appreciate your support. It's the ones that I don't have off the top of my head. And thank you for having us on your show tonight.
My pleasure, Jason. I really appreciate you getting the opportunity to speak to you. What I'll do as well is I'll post some links to the sites you mentioned on the bottom of the podcast where we put up the podcast, so people can click the link and go and check out the sites for your management company and for Julio as well. So thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
And you. Thanks, Jason. Bye.
I think so.
Okay, I'm now joined by Kerry Hughes. Kerry Hughes is 2-0 semi-pro in MMA. She's also had a couple of fights in Muay Thai and K1. Kerry, thank you for joining us today. How are things with you?
Fantastic, thanks.
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Appreciate you giving me your time today and coming on. I know you're obviously busy training and I know you run classes and stuff, so thank you for coming on today. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your background then. So, I know you're 2-0 semi-pro MMA, but I know you've fought in other combat sports as well. So what other combat sports have you fought in other than MMA?
Well, Muay Thai, and sort of as a natural progression from that, and linking in with the MMA as well. I had a K1 fight back in December on UCS.
Okay, and how did you find the... did you enjoy doing the Muay Thai and obviously then moving across to K1?
I think it's a strange one, because if you start out in a sport, and I started Muay Thai initially when I was about 13, your heart will always lie where you began, I think. Certainly the transition into K1 was very different, more different than I probably expected it to be. But yeah, I enjoyed both. I enjoyed getting up in the ring and fighting. It's probably more of the...
Out of interest then, what was the... you know, for the untrained eye, if you like, what was the biggest difference then from going from Muay Thai to K1?
I think, personally, I feel Muay Thai is a bit more technical. There's a very different pace to the fight. And obviously with the scoring system being different, a lot of the... when you fight Thai, there's a lot of, I suppose, more graceful aspect to it, and you know you've got a lot more of an opportunity to showcase your skill set in terms of strikes. I think K1's a lot more about pace and aggression and accuracy of strikes.
So obviously then after doing Muay Thai and K1, you've now started training and fighting in mixed martial arts. What made you want to transition from what is predominantly a stand-up art to mixed martial arts, which obviously, as we know, includes the stand-up and the grappling side as well? What made you want to do that?
I almost fell into it accidentally. I train at BKK Fighters in Colchester. It's a very comprehensive fight gym. We've got coaches for MMA, but also every individual aspect. So your Muay Thai, wrestling, BJJ, boxing. My Thai coach, Stu... who trains at Stu Barlegs, he trained me up back into a sort of fighting level of fitness, And then he went on an extended training holiday to Thailand sort of just after I fought in December. And I really wanted to get back in the ring. And I was... Steve Biley, one of the MMA coaches who teaches at BKK, suggested that I try it as something to tide me over fitness-wise until Stu came back. I think he probably knew what he was doing when he did it, but within a couple of weeks, I was just absolutely hooked on it. Probably because it was so different to anything I was used to. I spent the entire time just getting squashed and and beaten up and not able to have a clue what I was doing. And I think finding yourself out of your comfort zone like that forces you to... If you're the kind of person who has a competitive mentality, it forces you to want to get better and develop.
So obviously... You know, we all know with the MMA, there's you know the idea it's mixed. There's quite a different you know areas to the game. And you coming from the stand up background, how hard was it to transition to the grappling? And how surprised was you by how effective the grappling was?
I don't think I was surprised by it at all. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching MMA and you know similar things as well. Even down to your Olympic judo and your wrestling and things like that. So I was aware of the effectiveness. I just wasn't really sure it was for me. I think the initial transition was very, very peculiar. The first few times when you start to roll with people and, you know, the idea is to try and get a dominant position and you have no idea whether you're in a dominant position or not at any point. It takes a while to get your head around it. And it's certainly one of those arts where the more you learn, the less you know. Every time even now, having been at it intensely for well over a year, every time I start to think I've got my head around something, my training partners will step up a gear and you realise that there's still so much more to learn.
Have you enjoyed learning the grappling side to it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's at the same time incredibly challenging, really enjoyable, and one of the most frustrating things in the world. It's you know, the more you learn, the easier it gets to learn. But you still at every stage with grappling, people smaller than you will, you know, you have to have the mentality to be able to learn from everyone and, you know, not have an ego about being tapped out regularly and not have an ego about the fact that there will be people there, especially from offset, and having, you know, being probably newer to the art of grappling than something, there's a lot of people who are better than me, and that's really good because I can learn from them. But at the same time, it does sometimes get a little frustrating when you can't sort of attain that level.
How often do you train MMA on a weekly basis?
I train daily for 3 hours or more. Not necessarily specifically MMA. I train individually, boxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, BJJ, and MMA, as well as obviously strength and conditioning to supplement that.
I saw an interesting question earlier on put to another fighter on their Facebook, and I'll ask you the same question. If you could improve one aspect of the game right now by double, which aspect would you choose?
That's an interesting question. I genuinely don't know the answer. I think I enjoy the process of learning.
Yeah.
So... Well, I mean, even though there are probably areas where I stand to make a bigger improvement than other areas, I think it'd be difficult to pick up on one aspect. I'd like to improve that twice as much.
Yeah.
Because it all fits in together and everything complements one another, and I genuinely don't know the answer.
That's fine. Okay, well, let's touch a little bit on your record. We know... we already stated that at the start of the interview that you're 2-0. I'd like you to talk to me about your two fights. So start off with your first fight, the event, who you were facing, and then just talk us through how the fight went.
My first MMA fight was on the Women Fight Back show that Coliseum Sports put on last year in August, and it was against Kerry Maserati, who fights out of Carlson Gracie, Essex. Quite a good friend, actually. But it was really daunting, you know, the first time you step into the cage and a new sport and everything else. It ended, I think it was initially supposed to be a 3-round fight. They changed at the last minute, it became a 2-round fight, and it went to a decision. I won unanimous decision. It stayed with us both being strikers. It ended up probably being more of a K1 fight, stayed on feet the whole way, and thankfully won the day with some striking.
Did she try and take you down?
There were a couple of attempts, but I think, you know, both of us were at the time naturally more comfortable on our feet, and after a couple of initial sort of tussles, we stood and traded really for yeah. 2 rounds. It was certainly an energetic bout.
That obviously suited you as well, with your background. Now, you mentioned there about the cage. I'd like to pick up on that. How different was it from fighting in a ring to fighting in a cage?
Very.
Really?
Explain
why. Again, that'd be interesting.
I think anyone who comes from a Muay Thai background will understand. Partly it's, there's a big culture of respect, and there's a lot of history behind stepping into the ring for a Thai fight. There's quite a lot of ritualistic aspects and things like that, which is part of it. But it's also the ropes are part of that, and certainly when you're fighting, you use the ropes to a certain extent. They have more give in them than the cage. You've got four corners as opposed to, an octagonal shape. It's just a very different space to try and control and command, I think.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you'd think, you know, again, to the layman, a fight's a fight, but obviously, you know, the surroundings of where the fight takes place obviously has a big difference on what you can do and maybe what you'll do during a fight. Now, let's talk a little bit about your second fight. Who was your second fight with, and who was that? What promotion was that for?
That was the promotion was BC MMA. British Challenge MMA, and I fought Emma Delaney. I can't think what gym she's from. She's from a judo background. That was I won that by TKO in the first round, 3 strikes. That started off, I went in for a strike, and Emma got a really fantastic judo taker and caught me in an armbar. And it took me, in fact, she caught me in a few consecutive arm bars. I eventually escaped. I think on the way down, as she went to take a heavy with her and caused some damage to her shoulder. And then once I escaped the arm bar, we got back onto our feet. And from there again, it continued to be a striking fight. And I think about 3 minutes into the first round, 2.5, 3 minutes into the first round, I caught her with a left leg kick that doubled her over and finished with strikes. So the ref stopped it.
So it was actually a leg kick that actually put her to the ground?
No, it was a left body kick.
Oh, the body
kick,
sorry.
But not to the ground. She just doubled over, as you do when you get a nasty kick to the side.
So it was Baz Rutan would say, it was a liver kick.
Pardon?
As Baz Rutan would say, it was a liver kick.
Yes, it was. That was a good fight, though. It was really vigorous and tough as anything.
It sounds like you had to fight out of some adversity in that fight as well with the arm bars. How nice was it working out of those positions and then going on to get the win?
Yeah, it was certainly difficult. I mean, it was tight, and Emma's a strong garden. So great. I've got a fantastic corner team at BKK, some really, really good coaches, and I'm fortunate in that even when I'm fighting, I do tune in and listen to what my corner is saying eventually. Mm-hmm. and so they managed to, the first one I managed to work my way out of, and then they managed to talk me out of the Russian armbar towards the end.
And also, I know you've got a third fight coming up. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about your third fight, again, the promotion, when it will be, and who you'll be facing?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's the 11th of May. Again, it's on BCMA British Challenge in Carlton. I'm fighting Laura Harris from DT Fight School for their ladies' bantamweight title.
Brilliant. So are you excited for the opportunity to fight for the title?
To be honest with you, even before it was, because in the first instance it wasn't billed as a title fight, I was just really excited for this fight. I mean, Laura comes with an undefeated record as well, you know, a really good reputation, and I think it's a fantastic match. I really do think it's going to be a good fight to watch, and probably an enjoyable one to fight in, actually. I mean, that's fantastic for me as well. It's stepping down a weight category to where I think I probably should be. So, yeah, I'm really very excited. I'm in training. Obviously, it's only, 5-6 weeks away, so hard into fight camp.
How do you feel about dropping the weight? Is that something you're concerned with, or you think that's going to be okay?
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm a girl. Crash diets are normal.
Okay. Okay, that's we've talked obviously about what you've done so far and what we can expect from you next. Let's talk a little bit about women's MMA in general, because obviously it's fair to say there's certainly a boom at the moment with women's MMA. Obviously, we've seen for the first time we've seen female fighters in the UFC. Within the last 2 years, we've had an all women's promotion set up with Invicta, and of course Invicta are doing absolutely big things. So, what are your thoughts on women's MMA, and how much of what you see going on around the world with women's MMA, how much does that excite you to be part of the sport now, you know, as you're just getting into the sport?
Massively. I mean, I think when I first started with the MMA back in August, it was, you know, it really raised eyebrows that the Women Fight Back show had an all-female fight card in the UK. And I know now there's plans, Coliseum Sports have plans to launch another all-female show. But, I mean, looking at Invicta and, you know, similar sort of all-female promotions, it's really, really positive that you can showcase the fighters. I think up until relatively recently, there was a little bit of an element of novelty value to having a female fight on the card. I mean, certainly I know my fight on BCMMA with Emma, when we initially walked out, as I think we were the only female fight on the card that night, there were aspects of the crowd booing and being really negative. And by the end of that, you know, we'd changed that attitude. And I think it's the best talent in women's MMA are going to be really, really important to change of, you know, observing something for novelty value and sort of an amused tolerance to making people realise that actually female MMA fighters are, you know, serious combat athletes in the same way as men. Okay. And you only have to look at Carmouche and Rousey in the UFC. Yeah, you've got some fantastic female matchups on Bellator and some of the biggest promotions in the world. It's not a small niche market anymore. There's some really big things starting to happen and will continue to happen. And what's happening with Invicta at the moment, you know, it seems like every time they put on an event, they get a bit bigger and a bit better, and the reputation just continues to grow. It's really, really exciting to have a year of that, the level I could imagine being able to aspire to was nowhere near what it is now. Yeah. The people that are going out and being the first females in the UFC and paving the way are really opening up the sport for those of us who are at the sort of lower end of it looking to move up.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. It's fantastic. I think as well, there's been an announcement recently as well with regards to the UFC with the next season of Ultimate Fighter, which of course is a massive reality program. You know, obviously the biggest MMA reality program, and the next two coaches, of course, are going to be females as well, which is just adds more emphasis. And there's going to be women contestants as well, so it adds more emphasis to the fact that, you know, the women are just as serious as what the men are.
Yeah, and it's kind of a strange thing because I think the promotion of WMMA, women's MMA, is fantastic, and the support out there. I mean, there's a real community, not only of fighters, but people who support the fighters out there, and that's fantastic. At the same time, I kind of really hope for a time in the not too distant future when women's MMA comes under the umbrella of MMA, and there doesn't have to be that distinction there. Don't get me wrong, I appreciate and I fully understand, and I'm one of these people who's insistent that, you know, women of the same weight should. I have heard it said that women of the same weight should be able to fight men and things like that. I don't agree with that at all. Yeah, the strength disparity will generally be there, people at the same sort of level. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think that WMMA should be disparate or separate from MMA as a whole. I think once it evolves a little further, it'll be seen as a part of the same.
Would you like to see the weight classes defined differently? Because I know, I remember reading somewhere that obviously the weights are the same. So 145 for men, which is probably considered as a small weight class for men, is featherweight. And 145 for women, which is probably seen as the biggest weight class for women, is also featherweight. Would you like to see 145 for women maybe be classed as heavyweight, 135 instead of being bantamweight be light heavyweight, or would you just rather stick with the same weight class as they are now?
Honestly, I don't really see that it makes a difference. As long as the person you're stepping in there with within the boundaries of the same weight category, I'm not really concerned what they call it. I mean, I suppose it's easier to keep it with what the men's are, purely for recording purposes and things.
Yeah. Now that's another hot topic, of course, recently. You kind of touched on it briefly there with the fact you wouldn't want to have males fighting females. And of course, there's been a lot in the news recently with regards to a transgender fighter. I'd like to get your views on that, on what your thoughts are on a transgender fighter, obviously, who someone fighting with females who obviously used to be a male. Do you think there's a strength advantage there? Do you think that's fair? You know, what are your thoughts on that situation?
Firstly, I have real issue with the way it's been portrayed on some levels. Some of the reactions from the press have been really unpleasant and horrific and inappropriate. But taking aside the issue of gender identity, I think that it should be down to the individual fighter to look into the medical and scientific evidence behind it and make their own decision. I mean, there's a hell of a lot that goes into the gender reassignment process, and it isn't as simple as just, you know, it's not an overnight thing. There is a massive rebalance of hormones and things. And I don't know enough about it to say for sure whether Fallon Fox should be allowed to fight women or should be allowed to fight men even, because some of the hormones may prevent her from being able to compete against men. But certainly I don't know that it necessarily put her at any more of an advantage than some of the substances that fighters are using, and I don't know that it would put her at any more of a disadvantage than certain aspects. I mean, I don't know myself whether I would fight her if she was in the same weight category. but it's not something that I'd rule out without having a hell of a lot more information on the subject, I think.
That was going to be my next question. So what you're saying is, you obviously, you would need to see the scientific evidence to say that this basically is going to be a fair contest. And as long as that evidence is there to suggest that this contest is fair, then you'd more than happily take on a fight with somebody who had a transgender background.
I don't even know that I'd have to see scientific evidence that would say it was fair. I would just have to understand what any disparity in strength or anything else might be the likely outcome. But certainly I wouldn't make a decision without a bit more knowledge. But yeah, if I looked at it and assessed it as reasonable, then I wouldn't have any qualms about it.
Brilliant. Well, I really appreciate getting your views on that. It was interesting because, obviously, you're right, that has been portrayed and that she's kind of been witch-hunted, which is, like you said, there's no reason for that. And there's a hell of a lot of ignorance around this subject as well, to be fair. And I think people who don't know shouldn't really be just throwing comments out willy-nilly, which is what a lot of people do, which isn't fair on her, because at the end of the day, she's still a person who's, you know, if that's what she chooses to do, she has the right to go and earn a living off mixed martial arts if that's what she wants to do. It's been brilliant speaking with you today, Kerry, and I really appreciate having the opportunity to chat with you. Before we let you go, I always like to give people a chance to shout out. So anyone you want to shout out at all, also let people know if you're on Facebook and Twitter. I think that's always good to let people know your Facebook and Twitter details as well.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as AFC Angel, and obviously Facebook as my own name. I'd like to say thanks very much to absolutely fantastic team I have at BKK Fighters. They are magnificent. Jack Mason's the head coach there, Steve Biley, we've got Jamie Williams as a boxing coach, Lee Catling and Steve Wright for the BJJ, you know, Nick Albert for wrestling, Stu Barlegs for Muay Thai. It's a list of really fabulous names. And thanks to Arnie Allen, Sean Carter, Jason Coolidge, Dean Simmons and all the other lads down there who sparred me and beat me up on a regular basis. And I'd also like to mention my sponsors, E-Protein for some really good supplements. Really good, actually. They taste good as well, which is always a bonus. Octagon Wear, fantastic website for fightwear. Back up and running, who did my sports massage and stopped my back from seizing up after all the long training sessions. Thank you very much as well for having us on. It's nice to have an opportunity to talk about WSM, obviously raise the profile of a little bit in the media.
My pleasure, Kerry. And I'm pretty sure we'll arrange again and get you back on again. Maybe either just before your fight in May or just after your fight, we can sort. You know, we've got contact details now. We'll get that set back up again.
Wonderful.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed this week's show. I'm going away next week, so there'll be no show next week. I'll be in Stockholm covering the UFC event in Sweden, which I'm obviously very excited about. And then I'll be back to normal for the week after, so I will be back and I'll see you all in a couple of weeks.